Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So, good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, that is us.
Come what up, baby?
Surprised you didn't call me Dushan or something.
Dushan!
You know, they screw it up all the time.
The only time I've ever screwed up his name is when I'm saying Keyshawn and J. Will so fast, I say, what do I say?
Something.
Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
Because you look at me, you say J.
Right.
The key, the K.
Right.
Every kiss don't even, begins with K. That don't even go together.
Keyshawn.
Guys, the Braves are World Series champions.
Yay.
Been a long time since they had a championship of any kind in Atlanta, and in fact, it was the Braves.
Can I ask Key
95.
A question?
Yeah.
Key, does it make you feel better knowing that the Braves beat your squad to say that, yeah, well, we lost to the champs?
Would you rather them lose? Yeah, because I wanted to see Dusty Baker get his. I'm pulling for Dusty.
I'm with you, Jay. I feel a little bit better. Like, I think of the Yankees dynasty from 96 on, and in 01, they lost the World Series very close in Game 7, ninth inning. And in 03, they made it to the World Series, but in 02, they got their brake speed off by the Angels. Yeah. But they won the World Series. So it's like,
okay,
all right.
They won it.
Yeah.
Dusty. I'm all Dusty.
All right, but by the way, so congratulations, first of all, to the Braves and to the city of Atlanta. It's the first title, as I mentioned, in the four major so-called major sports for Atlanta since the Braves won it in 95. Now Freddie Freeman is a free agent. People expect them to work something out with Freddie Freeman. Carlos Correa is the interesting one for me, the free agent for me. And earlier on this show, Buster Olney was talking about, hey, this could be a hot market for free agents. Every market is hot for superstar free agent shortstops. The Yankees are in need of a guy who can really play the position. Not just a bat that they can stick at shortstop and plausibly play it, but a real shortstop. Carlos Correa is a superstar defensively. You look at his defensive runs saved and all that stuff. Great defensive player. And he can obviously hit for the position. Here's the question I have for Yankees fans. Would you want Carlos Correa, in spite of the fact that in 2017 and 2019, Astros beat the Yankees in a sign-stealing scandal? That's the question. 888-729-3776, 729-3776. And the reason, you know, I'm with you, Key. I'm like, if you can play, I want you. Not everyone feels that way.
Who do we have? We got Joe Kelly.
Yankees right? Picked up Johnny Damon once upon a time.
No, but we signed. He was part of the Red Sox in the sign stealing deal, right? Joe Kelly was. I mean, he was part of that. Not sign
stealing.
The Astros,
you mean?
The Red Sox. When Joe Kelly was part of the Red Sox when they beat the Dodgers in a championship, but they were allegedly doing whatever they were doing.
Yeah, I mean,
and Joe Kelly was part of that. He's a Dodger now, and I'm trying to think. We got one more dude. Or is it just Joe Kelly?
But some fans feel like. Forget about the cheating for a second, right? Some fans just don't even want, if you got a rival, they don't even, and that rival beat them.
That's the way I was about LeBron James. Like, even though LeBron's a friend of mine, I'm like, man, I don't, no, keep him over there. No, I didn't, no, it wasn't that. It
Kobe stuff at all?
It was a Kobe thing.
Yeah, man,
a lot
of people in LA.
I think it became more of a reality once he became a Laker. It was like, okay, cool, we, all right, man, he with us.
But see,
it's not personal, because I know him, we're cool, and all those sort of things, but I just didn't want him because I just didn't feel like hearing all of LeBron better than Kobe. You know, I didn't want to hear all that, man.
A lot of Lakers fans feel that way.
But there was, for LeBron, there was that Kobe moment happened, the way he handled that. I think it opened the door to a lot of Laker fans in their hearts with like, all right, like, we love what you said. Like, there has to be some kind of moment where you see that they are really invested
prior to him joining, right? When, you know, you get the basketball, it's the...
The basketball.
It's the free agent, summer of free agency, where is he going to go?
All the hype
leading up to it. It was like, nah, man, we don't want him, no.
There are all kinds of motivations for hometown fans to not want something. In the case of the Lakers, there was a tremendous amount of Kobe love, thinking, we're not trying to hear that this dude is going to come here and then take Kobe's shot.
Okay. We don't want that.
So And then when Kobe signs off on it, also people start to feel better, right? For Yankees fans, to have a shortstop of a team that beat you by cheating, because remember, Yankees were killing them at Yankee Stadium. They were losing very close games on the road, last at bat, because Houston was stealing
Jeter,
signs. They knew it was coming.
The whole thing, yeah.
So this is post-Jeter, actually.
No, but I'm saying, but you go
oh,
into
yeah, now
the,
you're talking about, it's yeah. also the position
it's the
of
position.
Derek
it's
Jeter.
It's Jeter's right? spot.
Didi Gregorius was a godsend. Everyone loved Didi, but he's gone. They didn't want to pay him, really, and they thought they could play Gleyber Torres, who could hit at shortstop. They couldn't. He can't play shortstop. I'm a Yankees fan, guys. I would love Carlos Correa on the Yankees.
Of course you would rather have him.
He can pick it in the field. He can hit.
Can't beat
him. He's 26 years old. Why wouldn't you want that dude playing shortstop?
You would want him. There's no question about it. And the Yankees are the type of team that will go and pay the type of money and free agency that it would take to get him.
Well, they used to be. They used to be that type of team.
I think Cashman will get it done.
Excuse me. It's curious to hear your retort here on this one. And how do you respond to when people say, well, the Yankees, like, you just keep going on getting these big brand names, but there's not that same kind of dynamic of youth and the right pieces to win. It's just like, oh, we have the big hitters. We have the big positions.
They did. They came up with a crop of young players, right, including Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez. The nucleus is there. Severino, who got hurt, the pitcher. Betances was really good, but now he's gone.
They traded for Carlos because of Stanton, because of the relationship with Jeter. He was able to come with a big contract.
And so there is some of that going on. I would just say this. Premium positions in baseball, like a stud ace starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole, they spent the money.
Big-time closer.
A shortstop who can pick it in the field and also hit. When those guys become available in their mid-20s, yeah, a center fielder who's great. If you find a guy like that available in his mid-20s, you got to pull the trigger. If that's the something you need, and the Yankees need a shortstop. So I hear what people are saying, because, by the way, what Jay is saying is real. In baseball, you could take the same production, but you just go out and spend money on them. Those teams don't perform as well as same production, but coming up through the system together, because they pull together, they play together. It's a different feeling.
The Rays.
Huh?
Tampa Bay Rays?
Yeah, no question, in addition to being high-end. But David in Massachusetts is on the call-in line. Wants to talk about this. Go ahead, David.
Dr. Pepper call in line.
Dr. Pepper call in line, yes.
Hello?
Go ahead, David.
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate it. First time caller. Love listening to you guys in the morning. Like I said, Torres, way too many, Gleyber, way too many errors. You know, diehard Yankee fan, I can look past the cheating scandal if he's with us. If he signs somewhere else, I can keep bashing him. But
yeah.
If he signs in Pinstripe, he's a Yankee.
Yeah. 100%.
No doubt.
You with us? Yeah. You with us.
Altuve, no problem. I like you. Come and be a Dodger. No, I don't like you.
I like the fact that David's in Massachusetts, embedded with the enemy. I love it.
Maybe he's not from Mass. Maybe he's here and he just lives in Mass.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I love it when you got the little Yankees fans, you know, look spread throughout the country. Yeah.
Snipers.
Yeah, man. AJ in New York wants to talk about it on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, AJ?
What's up, AJ?
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to break it to Keyshawn that I don't think it's going to be Carlos Correa. A, for the reasons because you said, I think the Yankees just won't take him because of the whole relationship with Houston. And I think it's going to be Corey Seager because the left-handed bat, and he's young, and the Yankees need that shortstop, and he seems like he's the guy.
Yeah, but we're not going to – I think we would retain him and not give him away. Think about what we did to retain him when he was hurt a couple years ago. We had a chance to get Machado. We decided to let Machado walk in free agency. Corey Seager became our shortstop. After he was off injury, we left Justin Turner at third rather than move Justin Turner and try and convince Machado to go to third or convince Seager to go to third. We kept Seager, so I don't think that they would do that now after all that.
Seager's also a year older than Correa. Yeah, like, Correa is very young.
Is he really that big of a deal?
But I'll tell you what, Seager is the kind of hitter I like more in the sense that I think that batting average got devalued in the modern game out of proportion. Like, I like guys who hit for a good batting average consistently year in, year out. They're putting the ball in play. You could have medium power, put the ball in play. That's better to me than a guy who strikes out a ton and hits some home runs but doesn't get on base a lot.
Depends on how the team is built, though.
Yeah,
if the team is going long ball versus short game, that's what you're going to get.
But a dude like they have DJ LeMay, who's excellent player, though, his power left in this year, who's getting on base a lot, putting the ball in play. In the postseason, I like the way those guys perform.
He's going to try to steal Corey Seager from us. What's wrong with that guy?
Yeah, that's the other thing. The Dodgers have a better front office than the Yankees and spend more money than the Yankees nowadays. Yeah,
and we passed on Machado for Corey Seager. I don't see us doing it. And he was raised through our farm system.
Yeah, right. From one New York team to another, the New York Football Giants, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Football Giants. This thing bothered me, all right?
What now?
Joe Judge said the following. Oh, ready for this? Key, you tell me what this reflects about a head coach. Just like you said you didn't like Zach Wilson's his quarterback dude is now the quarterback coach. How's this work? The headsets were going out, Judge said via NJ.com. Okay, listen, we have the sound, so we're going to play it for you.
The headsets are going out. No, we're having headset issues. This happened in every game so far. So we deal with the league, and they keep telling us there's different software updates or whatever it is. But we had to call two timeouts today because we're trying to send the deals in personnel-wise, and you got half the headsets aren't getting the reception. So that's the issue right there.
I'm curious, Jay. Contextually, how this happened. Like, is this? I don't think this sounds like an excuse to me. I think he's maybe just answering a question about what happened.
I need to hear one more time. And then I could form my opinion on what he's saying.
The headsets are going out. No, we're having headset issues. This happened in every game so far. So we deal with the league, and they keep telling us there's different software updates or whatever it is. But we had to call two timeouts today because we're trying to send the deals in personnel-wise, and you got half the headsets aren't getting a reception.
Okay.
So that's the issue right there.
And the question was why they called an early timeout.
Because he's trying to send the plays in. I had to hear him. He's trying to send the plays in through the personnel. And the personnel groupings and things of that nature are taking the plays in there. There's two things that you should have ready to go. Situational football. If the headsets go out, that's why you have a damn wristband. And that's why you have a big one of the big diner menus. All the stuff on there that they never use.
In case the technology fails.
That's why you have it. Hey, number three on your wrist, flip it. That's all he's telling you. Number two on your list, flip it. You don't need to get into the headset of the quarterback because the personnel, there's a coach on the sideline who's in charge of personnel. You may be the running back coach, Max, but you're in charge of the personnel. So I say half personnel. Go in. Then I look at my sheet and I tell Daniel Jones, number three, flip it. If I had the headset on, I'd say number three, I just got to be a coach, right? I got to cover my mouth. I got to say number three and I got to go, half personnel, here's what we're going to do. Let's go trips right, zoom, 368 motion right on three. I don't need to do that because if I point and tell him number three, all he got to do is look at his wristband and it's all right there on the wristband. Everything on his wristband is on that big menu that you see. You got to be ready for those things.
Excuse me in my ignorance on this, but if you put up a number and if you see flipping it, does that provide intel to the other team?
No, you don't have my wristband. How you know what's on my wristband?
So then why? Yeah, okay.
Why
are mouths always covered all the time?
Because they trying to be cute.
Okay, here's I always wonder, like, why?
Here's a true story. This is a true story. Now, you got to follow me here. There was once a coach who was a head coach, never called the plays. But the offensive coordinator was calling all the plays and got all the credit. So the head coach would take and put up the thing on his mouth as if he was calling the plays. But wait, he told the assistant head coach, who was the offensive coordinator, don't put the thing up over there, over your mouth, because, no, he told him to put it over his mouth because they can read your lips. So, but that's not why he wanted him to do it. He wanted him to do it to make it look as though he was the one calling the plays and not the actual guy. It's just that, and that's
why I'm guessing that head coach was not a very good head coach.
No, he was a good head coach, but he wasn't a good play caller. Uh-huh. But he didn't want anybody to know that he wasn't calling the plays. He wanted the public to just assume that he was the one calling the plays. You get all that type of weird stuff.
I mean, I've been out here thinking that people can read lips like that. Like, oh, they got trained people.
And then what coaches would
sign.
Yeah,
and here's what coaches would tell you. Coaches would tell you if you asked them at a press conference, they would tell you the sound going into the headsets is muffled. So it's like, come on, man. Stop.
So what bothers me about this on several levels, Key, now that you just explained that, thank you for that, by the way, is number one, I don't like the fact that their headsets are going out. Like, let me start there. Why are the Giants' headsets going out?
Well, headsets do go out every now and then.
He said every day, yeah,
every
week.
Game, every now and then.
No. So whoever's in charge of that, I guess.
Come on, IT department.
It would be the IT department.
Get on top of your software updates.
It's really Gettleman. All that's under him. Oh. All that's under him. I'll tell you what. If I'm the GM of a team, headsets are not going out every week. Not in week eight. It's not happening every week.
And then I thought, and I could be wrong here, but I thought if the headsets went out on your side, the headsets had to go out on my side as an opponent or a team. I think everyone who plays the Giants, maybe it's true. I remember that used to be the case.
All right,
if your headset went out,
maybe there's something that happened at MetLife.
It doesn't matter.
They said every week, not just at home.
No, but I'm saying if your headset goes out and you report your headset going out, they have to turn the other team's headsets off until yours get fixed.
So number one, I don't like the fact that they're going out every week. That hasn't been fixed. That's ridiculous.
That explains our record, though.
Number two, you shouldn't be using that as an excuse. I understand he's asked a direct question about it. He's responding to the question. But it's not an excuse based on what you're telling me.
And I think you could still use the walkie-talkie into the helmet if your headsets go out.
Yes, it is an excuse to me based on what Key just said, because Key just said the reason you have it written down on your wristband, the reason is in case the technology fails.
Hey, Pat, chime in real quick with us real quick and explain that.
It's called the equity rule. If one team's headsets go out, the other team is supposed to be forced to take their headsets off.
So we're at even. We're playing even now.
Right. So I don't blame. But like if someone's asking Joe Judge a direct question, why did you do this? And he says, I did this because of that. I'm not going to kill him for making an excuse, even though it's even on both sides because they're asking him a question. I will kill him if what Key you're telling me pertains to the Giants and it's correct, which I assume it is.
Okay, so
why they should be prepared for that?
So here's what I'm going to tell you this weekend or tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, when you're watching the game, I want you to look at the quarterback when he looks to the sideline and he does this. Look at his wrist, because they're probably just telling him, instead of going through people that try to tell the whole play in the headset of the quarterback. That's when you get delay a game. Mm-hmm. That's when if they just say number 10.
He's checking the wristband.
He's going number 10. And he's going, let's go half personnel. With half personnel, we're going to go trips right. Let's go empty right, 72, shout tosser. And that's it. And it's that simple. It's not that difficult, Max. But, you know how I go, man. Everybody wants to sell it a certain way.
Right. So the excuse he's making, let me just make it 100% clear, does not hold water, right?
Not to me. No, not for somebody who played in the league, who's been on the sidelines, who's been in the huddles. I don't want to hear nothing about your headset going out, because you can tell me, you can push me into the game. Max, go in. Tell him number two.
Is that because he's an inexperienced head coach?
But Jason Garrett's the play caller, so he's experienced as a head coach and a play caller. So it's very simple and easy for Jason Garrett to grab Tony. To Darius Tony and tell him number five. Tell him number five. And he goes in, number five. The other guy comes out, number five. Here's what we're going to do. Bunch right, toss 38 Gator.
You're just getting me angry, Key.
So
you're
what happens, part of the problem with me is I do too much exposing of people.
No, listen.
That's the problem. I unveil the truth too much.
Evan. You just had something. Evan just put a fact on the screen that, there it goes. This is something that we've discussed that I want to get to, Evan. I know we're jamming right now, but I got to get this in. Joe Judge also said about the trade deadline that making no trades was the best long-term decision for the Giants. And this is a quote. We're good with just moving on with business as usual. Business as usual.
Yeah, I get it. They're moving on. There's nothing in terms of long-term decisions that they felt that was out there that they needed to make a trade for. They got some young, talented players that's under contract. They got some guys whose contracts are coming up. There's nobody out there that's going to help us change anything. We're just moving on as business as usual.
That's why I said to you before when we were playing one of the masks ago and we named David Gettleman, Joe Judge, and Daniel Jones. I'm like, all three are going to be back because they're going to try to address the O-line in the draft. And they're going to keep it.
Some people don't like the words.
They're waiting for everybody to be healthy.
I mean, it's word salad, basically. And some people might not like those words, Max. But There's nothing you could do.
Like what? Yeah, right. I understand. Poor choice of words at worst, right? I would say,
people going to say, well, what's business as usual?
You know what?
It's losing.
I would say at best it's poor choice of words. At worst, it reflects a certain arrogance about that Gettleman had from the first press conference, you know, when he took the job, which is there's this sense from the Giants press that they know what they're doing and that Giants fans should trust them and they're going to do it the old school way. And they project this image of toughness and old school throwback. But then just what you just said, well, it's on the wristband. You know, fixing the offensive line. Well, the offensive line is playing better. 3-4 years later, they're an okay offensive line, and what, they want a medal for this? I don't get it. So, anyway, as a Giants fan, it's very difficult to see the organization struggling like this. That's all I can tell you. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And let me just say that my biggest takeaway is this.
Go ahead, Max. This is Max Kellerman.
I don't think Gettleman is a great GM. Or understating it, right? He's not a great GM. I don't think Joe Judge is going to be a great coach, although it's early in his career. I'm willing to wait and see. And Daniel Jones is, to me, at best, potentially a good quarterback.
So you have a problem with Cashman? As a general manager.
Yeah, he's very good. He's Gettleman, not good enough. He's very good, though.
Gettleman as a general manager. Yeah. Who else you got a problem with?
Well, none of the
Leon
teams
Rose
are winning. Actually, no, Leon Rose doing a bang-up job.
You got a problem with Leon Rose?
No. He's doing a bang-up job.
Brooklyn?
I'm not going to lie.
You're talking about
Sean,
Sean Marks.
Sean Marks. You got a problem with Sean Marks?
Nope. Okay. Nope.
What's the Rangers and the Islanders GMs?
No. Cashman is excellent, just not good enough. But he's excellent. I'm not going to lie. But Gettleman is not excellent.
Oh, God.
All right. Much
the
more
Islanders
Keyshawn.
Have the best GM in New York, by the way, Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, Lou Lamoriello.
And they're on Long Island.
Best GM in all of New York.
Say his name again.
Book it. Lou Lamoriello.
Lamoriello. Lamoriello, not Amarillo.
That's a place in Texas.
Lou, Texas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Oh, look at that. You see what Yates did, guys, right? Because he had the original. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. I thought because he had Curtis Blow, but it was basketball earlier.
Yes.
I was thinking, oh, wait, he played the original If I Ruled the World and then followed it up. No, it was just Curtis Blow before. Scottie Pippen said,
Dance,
what's up, Yates?
It was also in The Last Dance, though.
That's right. Last Dance, yeah. Scottie Pippen said this in his new book about that Last Dance. Michael Jordan was determined to prove the current generation of fans that he was larger than life during his day and still larger than LeBron James, the player many consider his equal, if not superior. So Michael presented his story, not the story of The Last Dance, as our coach Phil Jackson billed the 1997-98 season once it became obvious the two Jerrys, owner Jerry Reinsdorf and general manager Jerry Krause, I keep saying Reinsdorf, were intent on breaking up the gang no matter what happened. His best teammate of all time, he called me. He couldn't have been more condescending if he tried. Here's what David Kaplan of ESPN 1000, Chicago, of course, told us about how all of what has happened in The Last Dance and Scottie's new book, what kind of an impact it'll have on Scottie's and MJ's legacies.
makes Michael even larger than life, makes him even greater. And Scotty will always be remembered as a great player here, but he'll also always be remembered as the guy that sat out 1.8 seconds because he didn't like the play, had a migraine, whether I don't have those, thank God. I can't tell you how sick he was, but when Michael had the flu game, that was the worst thing that ever happened to Scotty because Scotty couldn't answer the bell against the Pistons. Mike dropped 37.
You know, guys, LeBron James can do more with less than any player ever, right? Like, LeBron by himself can get you far. Michael Jordan, though, when they gave him something, was impossible to beat. Like, he never lost when they gave him something. And Scottie Pippen was the thing he got. When he had the migraine in that Game 7, the Pistons were on their way to back-to-back championships. They were in a Game 7. Pippen dropped 2 points in 40 minutes because he had, in other words, the thing that they gave Michael was taken away. So he lost. And then the only other time he lost, he came back. He didn't have his basketball legs. He played like 17 games in between three-peats.
He lost in the first round 3 times.
No, but I'm saying that was without another All-Star.
Okay.
When he had one other All-Star with him, minimum, he always won the championship in under 7 games. And that All-Star was Scottie Pippen, who, by the way, when Michael went away, was probably the second best player in the game behind Hakeem. For that year or two. But Pippen was the dude you wanted. Yeah. Jay, it's like his ego is feeling it from Michael right now.
But he couldn't close it out though.
Who?
That's
Pippen.
Pippen. That's that's kind of what. Jay, you play basketball, man. What the hell you want to go?
Do I?
Yeah, you play basketball.
Well, you jumped in. Go ahead.
I was just thinking. I was like, he couldn't close out. So I mean,
can I ask you a question? And like, Michael Jordan in that GOAT conversation, and I get all this stuff with Pip. This is an argument I think Pip will never be able to win. Public sentiment is always going to side with Jordan. But is Jordan the only flawless player of era that we have in sports?
When you say flawless, what do you mean? Because I was about to say he wasn't flawless.
But I feel like with the way people talk about MJ is that MJ can never do any wrong.
Because he can't.
Well, no, that's what I'm asking.
Cannot ever do wrong because he won six titles. And I know he had teammates and all that. He changed the shoe game. He got the smile.
I agree on all that
stuff. All that. So it's hard to go against all that.
But that's why I said Pippen will never win that. But I think there are a lot of nuances and complexities to everything that comes along with that.
I think it's a misconception that Jordan is flawless or he can't be criticized. I think he can be criticized. He had flaws.
Yeah, but he ain't going to be criticized by no real fans.
I think you can. But I will say this. The younger generation who thinks now that Jordan is idolized out of proportion because time has passed doesn't understand.
I don't think
Jordan was bigger in his day than he is today. Jordan, if you lived through the era, you were more impressed back then with him than you are today.
Yes.
He was so great that as memory fades, you can start comparing other players to him. But he was lapping the field like no one on earth ever asked. You think Shaq is as good as MJ when Jordan was playing? Different, no one thought that.
But it's different position, though.
But what I'm saying is as soon as Jordan retired, everyone was like, damn, no one's close to Shaq. But when Jordan was playing, Shaq wasn't even close to him.
But it was different position.
Because
when the Dream was playing and Shaq was playing, you couldn't Dream compare. You can't compare the Diesel to Shaq. I mean, that's just reality.
You can compare Kobe to Jordan, though.
But you can compare Kobe at the end.
How same game, same sexy it was.
Yeah,
right?
Because they played the same position, all those sort of things. But as far as you were saying, Jay, he can't do no wrong. I don't give a damn what Scottie Pippen say. And Scottie, my man. Scottie is my man. Jordan can't do no wrong. My son is 9 years old, man. My son know who Michael Jordan is. He's 9 years old. And it ain't because of me. It's because he can go right on that little online internet stuff you use and go right on there and pull him up. He got his shoes.
I'm with
you. He was just rocking some Jordans. All that.
Jay, not only that, but if you look in the record, here's the thing about Jordan.
Son,
When people bring up, well, he lost in the first round, this is a fact. As soon as he got one other All-Star, he didn't win the championship in under 7 games. Just give him an All-Star. First year Pippen was an All-Star. They lost in 7. He had a migraine. Not an All-Star that last game.
So, Can I ask you, like, I think one of the reasons why people side with LeBron, that whole debate, and look, The Last Dance was a promotional tactic to show you how incredible Michael Jordan was. Like, I get that. Same way Scottie Pippen has his book, him saying LeBron James, promotional tactic for his book. I get it. But I think when you get people that start comparing LeBron and Michael, it's you would say, yes, Michael raised and elevated the play of other people because of how competitive he was and how maniacal he was and that competitive juice, where LeBron raises other people differently.
No doubt.
Differently, right? I think some people like the way LeBron James raises other people because they've seen some of the pitfalls of the way Michael Jordan has raised
people. Yeah, LeBron's better at it.
See, here's what I would say, though, too. I know we're talking about LeBron, Pip, and Jordan. But if Kobe Bryant could have got to six earlier, or if he could have got to five, meaning earlier in his career, the conversation would have kept going because he could have got to six and seven. LeBron James then got there, and he still has years left on his clock. So that number he's still chasing is that six number.
But the problem for Kobe was this. It was the same game, same guy, same game. But when you looked into it, Jordan was a hair better. So it was a very easy comparison.
But he was only a hair better.
No, the numbers were better.
But damn the numbers.
His defense was a little better. His offense was a little better.
I'm just talking about perspective on the way people saw it.
Yeah. Because they count chips.
They count the chips.
But LeBron,
if he could have got the six, we'd be having a conversation about Kobe even more, because we'd have been like, well, he might pass it because he'd get the seven. He could never get to that six mark because they just, you know, got old and faded.
But
LeBron may get there just because he can ride the coattails of Westbrook in AD until such due time that he goes away.
I don't know if he rode the coattails last night. Seems like they rode his coattails.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I feel
as
what you're
he
saying.
Gets
as
older. Yeah.
Yeah, LeBron also, because Kobe's a direct comparison, that's one thing. LeBron was the first player to come along post-Jordan who thought, I'm not going to just try to be Michael Jordan. LeBron did his own thing.
Different
so the comparison to Jordan is more interesting because it's not apples to apples. That gives us more to talk about.
Because LeBron's a way more gifted passer, and he's 6'9", a half, and 245 pounds.
Way different.
But, like, remember that whole thing? Like, LeBron passed up, forget what game it was. It was during one of the NBA Finals. He passed up a game-winning shot for the right shot in the play. And I feel like that was forever held against him.
Cleveland Golden State.
No, here's the issue with LeBron. Just in case the LeBron folks are wondering, like, wait, because I was not like, oh, no, he can't be as good as Jordan. Jordan never had a finals like LeBron had in Miami, where in the fourth quarter he was playing hot potato with the ball. He didn't want it. Jordan in the finals, you can go look it up, was killing the game every time. Was like, oh, my God, he did it in the finals every time. No adjustment period, no nothing. And that's where it happened for LeBron, where he started getting backlash, I think, from people who were not trying to be biased, like, you got to play better than that in the finals. Now, to LeBron's credit, since then, he's had some of the best finals of all time. It's ridiculous. Did you know, by the way, and Pippen is not in that conversation.
He's not. No.
He's not.
Nor should he be. Pippen is a hell of a player in his own right, man. Come on now.
In terms of 1-2 punches, that's a great two punch.
You know how many teams would have started their team with Pippen?
Hell yeah.
So, like,
just wonder, like, when this book drops, like, what intimate details that he will allow the world to see about Michael Jordan that, you know, we talk about how would Michael Jordan be in today's social media era if he were playing with some of the things that happen. When that stuff starts to be revealed and it comes directly from the horse's mouth and Pip, well, we may start looking at Jordan slightly different.
Jordan's not flawless. You can criticize. No one's above criticism.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
By the way, you ever read Jay talking about little Wu-Tang?
Yes.
This is. I don't remember the names of any songs anymore. I just remember the track number back then, and now it's Triumph. Yeah, because this was off the double CD that came out, their second album. You ever read U God has a biography out? It's good.
Really?
Quick read. Yeah, it's good.
I am going to start watching the series today. About
no, it's a book.
The book, yeah. But you put me onto the Wu-Tang series, right?
Yeah, the dramatic series. Yes, okay. Yes, it's entertaining.
Start watching it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cowboys play the Broncos on Sunday. Jerry Jones.
Win, and win more.
Was asked about Dak Prescott's status on 105.3 The Fan yesterday. Here is the Cowboys owner.
We have every reason to think that he's on go, he should be ready to go. This will give him quite a layoff, concluding the bye week that we had. So we have every reason to think that he'll be on the field for us this week.
We have every reason to believe that Dak will be on the field for us this week. Literally, he's one of our best players that we've ever had. And he's a great guy, and we're looking forward to him continuing to have success.
Didn't it sound last week, though, like everyone, like the Cowboys were kind of angling that he was going to play? They made it seem like he was going to play. And when Dak was finally asked about it, he's like, I don't know.
Well, that's the way you do it. You play possum. You don't need to tell everybody what you're doing. Just, make them guess. Make them guess. That's what you have to do. You have to make them guess.
Yeah. Yes. By the way, Jay, the book is
Key,
called.
I love you, dog. Yeah, that's why I know Key and I.
I'm trying to give you the title of the book so you know.
Yes, okay.
Just give me the damn book.
Raw. Yeah. It's called Raw, My Journey into the Wu-Tang. Lamont, You Got Hawkins. So there you go.
All right, I'm on.
There you go. What?
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, look, the fact of the matter is they are going to win the division no matter who they play under center for the rest of the season. The Cowboys could play Cooper Rush or whoever.
Yeah, but you want to keep that continuity. You want to keep progressing and keep fine-tuning your team.
Well, you want the bye.
Yeah.
That's really what you want is that bye, right? Like, that could determine who comes out of the conference.
If he could play him. No, there's no Von Miller, so we don't have to worry about him anymore, right? It's like Denver's coming back to the pack. They're not a good football team. You should win them with Cooper Rush, but you don't want him to miss too much time.
Then he gets rusty and stuff. Yeah,
then it becomes his mechanics are off. So, let's see where it goes.
So they had the bye, and then they rested him, so that's two
weeks.
It's going to be 3 weeks in between when he plays, right?
If you get had
one,
the bye.
Two, three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had bye, the bye.
So there's a week rest.
And then this week.
Then another week rest.
He didn't play.
Right.
He practiced. So
he practiced, but he didn't
practice,
play.
Practice, didn't play. Then this last week, he didn't play.
Yeah.
So that's two. So by the time he plays again, that's three. You're saying that's enough.
Yeah. If you don't play him against Denver, he will have had 3 weeks of resting.
No, four if you don't play him against Denver.
No, The bye. That's 1 week.
So that's 1 week of rest up until
and
the
then,
bye.
And then the bye, you came back from the bye prepared the to play last week. That's the second week.
But didn't play, that's two.
And then this week if he doesn't play.
So if he doesn't play, that's three, but then he goes to the next week, so it's four weeks of rest. See what I'm saying?
He'll be practicing.
Okay, yeah. But it's a game.
I think about practice.
He's thinking of practice, like,
well,
damn.
I was going to say, practice is what a worker's put in. Game is like,
exactly.
It's free. We're just having fun.
And practice allows you to get those reps, get your feel. It's not like you're just not doing anything.
But I don't want him to have 3 weeks off at all. Practice our game. He needs to play a little bit.
Well, he's had essentially what? Like 1 week off. That's what he's had.
Okay, I want him to play. Yeah. I want him to play.
Jay, your original concern, and I agree, was that your first question was, is it the same leg? It's the same leg. It's the same leg as a catastrophic injury.
Yeah, I think
that's where I get nervous.
Of course you get nervous about it because that's your franchise cornerstone. But at the same time, when you're hearing reports about how he looked pregame last game, he looked really good. People thought he was going to go. So a lot of this is dependent upon what he tells you is going on with his body as well, in conjunction with Britt Brown and how they think about that from a training perspective.
It's going to be like, I'm thinking Packers, one loss. Now Arizona, one loss. Cowboys one loss. Bucks now have two.
Two.
But I don't see any one loss team. I think they're all probably going to lose at least one more game, these teams.
Is everybody off the Cardinals because of that loss?
Oh, Cardinals are
I was never really on them. You the one that be running around jumping up and down with pom-poms for the Cardinals and Bills.
No. Don't come out here with lies. You jumped on the Cardinal train for a minute because you said, you know why? Because they're running the ball.
No, I said they're a good football team, but I'm not like jumping up and down for them. You was jumping up and down for them.
They lost to the Packers on a short week. And by the way, the Packers were missing guys. DeAndre Hopkins basically didn't play. Right? I don't know. And it's to the Packers. Packers are really good. You know,
obviously,
like
that's how Keith feels about him.
Bengals got upset by the Jets. It's not like they just lost to the Jets. They lost to the Packers on short rest.
With Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers.
With no receivers.
Yeah, but I'm saying Hopkins really didn't play either. What do you mean, that's a receiver?
He still was there playing and they had everything else. He didn't have his number two dude.
Yeah, some people in the O-line that were out.
Tanya got hurt.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
He tore his ACL. Come on, man. Stop.
No, listen. Rodgers could do that. Packers are one of the contenders, right? But I think Arizona is too.
Let's go, Pack.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Hope you've enjoyed the program on ESPN Radio.
You can see me at 2 to 3 on Justin.
You can see Key coming up right now on First Take. Jay is going to be on This Just In today.
2 to 3
ESPN Radio.
This Just In.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.